Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 24th of February, recording at 9:21 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have a quick review of the week. In terms of stock markets, still steady, but some slowing of momentum overall. We have been seeing rotationally some what are small corrective phases, small consolidations here so far, but most stock markets have maintained these really rather extraordinarily consistent staircase upward trends. You see those most clearly if you look at the daily charts, whereas the weekly charts just show 8 consecutive weeks to the upside for most of these markets, although a few of them have paused this week. Now, including today's action, here the Asian stock markets were quietly steady. Not a bad day for the China indices, and particularly the A-shares. And the European stock markets were a little bit mixed today, but I see the Spanish market more than recouped yesterday's loss, and that's the Italian market. Sorry, but I think Spain was up as well. Now, in the Americas, Wall Street seesawed here in a very, very narrow range before closing almost unchanged. We had tiny gains in the S&P, up a couple of points, 2.25 points. And a fraction better in the NASDAQ. So a quiet day. Long-dated government bond prices for the week have mostly eased, although they're a little bit steadier in here today, are the ones that I can see on my screen. The U.S. dollar, it's been soft generally, but the currency that has been really weak in here is the Japanese yen, and the US dollar, for instance, which has been soft, as you know, is up to 81 yen, and we've seen therefore the yen weaken just that much more sharply against every other currency. The other Asian, the ex-Japan Asian currencies have been generally firm. The euros had a good rebound in here this week, having been, I think it was dipped under briefly under 130 last week, but it's trading at 134.58 as I speak. Sterling's had a good day, pushed, having dipped a little bit in a narrow range against the dollar, but it's currently at 158.88. And precious metals, they've been on a roll, solid gains. A little bit of profit taking in platinum and palladium today, down $9 and $7 respectively. Gold also a little bit of profit taking today, down $7 at currently at 1773. But it's been a solid week's performance. And silver, down has been one of the best of all. I think probably platinum has been the best of all. But silver at 35.47, that's down 16 cents today. But strong gains here this week. The industrial metals mostly a bit firmer. Having dipped somewhat last week and at the beginning of this week, copper is pushed back up to 386.45 in the States. I'm reading that off the screen. Grains and beans, quietly steady for the most part. The big story is energy. Crude oil got up to Brent, is currently 125.37, and the WTI got up to almost $110, and it's not far off that right now. It's at 109.71. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets have had this wonderful tailwind behind them, and that has come from, of course, all the quantitative easing that's still going on, including the ECB's input in that department this year. Then there has been the change in sentiment where people were talking about an imminent breakup of the euro, although not at fuller money. And while people were talking about an event worse than 87, I beg your pardon, worse than 2000, and 87 wasn't all that bad when you think about it now. But they were talking about an event worse than 2008 for the European banks. A lot of people were talking about a Lehman moment or worse being imminent as far as the European banks were concerned, but not fuller money, I'm glad to say. So we had this incredibly negative sentiment, and actually, the ECB, by introducing its own version of quantitative easing and making all this liquidity available to the banks, has stabilized or contained the problem. And therefore, we've seen this year a good rally in European bank shares. We have seen, more importantly, those sovereign debt yields for Portugal, for which is supposed to be the next in the queue and probably is in terms of Greek type problems. But long-dated 10-year government bond yields for Portugal, Spain, and Italy come down a lot from the levels that we were seeing, say last September and early October. So that has helped sentiment considerably. And we've had the news coming out in the United States that the U.S. economy, albeit with the help of steroids in the form of quantitative easing, has been doing reasonably well, the U.S. economy. And it has also had the benefit of cheaper energy in the U.S., particularly in terms of natural gas, which really is cheap. And crude oil was certainly, well, still is lower than the WTI. So the U.S. has had that energy cost advantage. And then there has been the improvement in sentiment regarding the growth economies as they mostly cut interest rates. And I should mention actually that Colombia actually hiked rates today to 5.25% from 5. So that goes against the trend that we've seen generally. Hopefully we don't see many other countries do that. Now, in terms of technical developments, I mentioned some little rotational pauses. Those have included India, which is most affected by this really high oil price. And but India had the second best gain when I did the measure on this year's gains in US dollars. Came in following Egypt, a bit of an eye raiser behind Egypt, a bit of an eye raiser there. So India had a key day reversal earlier in the week, I think on Wednesday, and I've seen a little bit of follow through, downside follow through in the last couple of days. So that's the overall background here in these stock markets. I would not expect the rally to continue, or certainly not at the pace that we have seen recently over the short term, with oil prices up at these levels. Now, people weren't paying any attention to crude oil, but all of us, although we've pointed it out steadily, that oil was uncomfortably firm, and it's just been rising daily. And so Really, we've got a collision coming here, and I think that this will cause some some increase in volatility here, which and volatility has been minimal in the stock markets recently. It's just been this little tiny these gains, little tiny pause for the gains. That's the short-term outlook. How do we look, or how do things look on a more of a medium-term to longer basis? Well, I think they look reasonably attractive overall. This is acting like a bull market, and as I've said before, if it walks, talks, and squawks like a duck, it probably is a duck. And this everything that this market is doing is consistent with a bull market outlook, but as I say, about to be affected by the reality check of this strength of crude oil. So that'll lead to a reaction in the weeks ahead. And oil's a bit of a wild card in here, and by the very description, wild card, that implies a degree of unpredictability. I don't think that it's an increase in demand that's pushed the price up, or that much of a cut in supply. It might not have been any cut in supply, really, but it's all the saber rattling that's been taking place, and then a lot of talk about when there's a strike against Iran and Iran being fairly inflammatory in its own rhetoric. So that's had the desired effect on the part of the people who've been most bellicose in here of driving the price of oil higher. And I think that's mostly due to speculative activity, which would mean that oil could prices could come down, or are likely to come down fairly sharply when sentiment changes. But the problem is though that although it may be speculation that it gets up there, the cost pressure is real. And this is now a headwind for not only stock markets, but also a headwind for the global economy. And the global economy really didn't need strong oil prices, and there's no evidence on the charts that these have peaked. So that'll be a little bit tricky, but at this stage I would not expect more than a correction, and so far we haven't seen anything like that. We've just seen these little tiny reactions in stock markets. So I don't think it's cash up and head for the hills or anything like that. I think probably the medium term outlook is pretty good. I think the Western interest rates will remain lower if once those oil prices come off. We haven't had too much upward pressure on food prices, so once oil prices come off, I think that would encourage some of these growth economies to perhaps cut interest rates a little bit further. They're not going to slash them back to anything like the levels we saw in 2008 and early 2009, because we don't have the same sort of crisis mentality anymore. And I say that while I know people are still a lot of people are still talking about Greece. But a crisis contained is a diminishing influence on sentiment elsewhere. So investors in all these different economies around the world are not going to be waking up and saying, "What's happening in Greece right now?" They'll be focusing on increasingly on domestic issues and this oil price. Okay, what about the long-dated government bond prices? Well, they're being held up by quantitative easing in the West. That means their yields are being held down as governments buy through their central banks most of the bonds on offer in the United States, in Europe, and in the United Kingdom. And I think that's going to go on certainly for a while longer. So that may well cause yields just to range sideways at these really quite low levels in those countries. But on a long-term basis, I think as we get back to more normal conditions, and I would say when this quantitative easing is not a normal monetary condition, not by a long shot. So in more normal conditions, which I do anticipate, but possibly not this year, but we'll see those longer-term interest rates normalize, push somewhat higher. And then the big question will really be, when will central banks worry less about deflation and more about inflation? But that's well down the road, and we'll be talking about this, of course, every single weekday when markets are open during the year. Precious metals, it's been a stellar performance after the big corrective phase that we had seen last year, really starting in April for silver and in August, September for gold bullion. So big correction, big mean reversion corrections there, but now pushing back up above those MAs, having put in some decent support building overall. I think we can say with a reasonable degree of confidence that the secular bull trend, which we never felt was over, but I think we can say with a reasonable degree of confidence that this is still very much intact. One of the stories behind gold has been that China was doing a lot of buying. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's certainly been in the markets and touched on a little bit by the press, along with stories that China was mopping up its own gold production. But not only that, but buying more gold in the markets. I don't know, but the technical action has certainly confirmed that demand has the upper hand. And we're a little bit overbought here in the short term, but as I say, the precious metal patterns are now characterized by more underlying support than we've seen for quite a while. So that's I say by quite a while, then since we've seen since those big accelerated moves commenced last year. So I think people can relax in terms of another big sell-off. Here I don't see it. I think the worst we're likely to see would perhaps be a little bit of somewhat dull action in terms of actual ranging. But it's been anything but dull here recently. And industrial metals. So copper has firmed up, and that will not well, that'll encourage economists who are looking for signs of growth. And most of the, well, I would say all of the industrial metals look like they saw lows late last year and are in various stages of support building overall. Commodity price inflation, which had been a problem earlier last year, and then we saw lengthy corrective phase, But that CCI index, that continuous commodity index, is picking up a bit. And that means we're never going to be all that far away from concern over the costs of some of these important resources. Now, that will come as no surprise to veteran subscribers, because it was really early on in the last decade that, as Fuller Money was pointing out, that the long bear market in precious metals was over. We were also pointing out that the long bear market in other commodities was over, and that we were entering a secular bull phase. And that's still very much our view, that this is a secular, as in very long-term, bull phase for those resources. Now, it's a volatile sector, so we can see big variations, and I've always maintained, to the obvious point, that we'd see big corrections in the upward trend, overall upward trend for commodities, when global GDP growth slowed. And then for the agricultural commodities, there are always the crop cycles. So if you get a decent crop, prices will come down quite a bit. And vice versa. If the crops are bad, then we get the spikes to the upside, which certainly cause inflationary pressures, especially when they affect staple foods such as the grain and bean complex. Now, in terms of currencies, the euro has steadied quite a bit, as I mentioned here earlier on in this broadcast. And I think there's a fair amount of short covering which is taking place there. Overall, though, we can say that we've got a bit of stability as far as the currency markets are concerned. The US dollar had surged late last year, or in the fourth quarter of last year, as a safe haven, and that has been largely unwound, that buying activity. But overall, we're seeing range trading for most of these currencies. That's good. That's a bit of stability. And I don't think we'll see all that much dramatic action, except for this weaker yen. And I think the weaker yen is really the big story in currency markets. And there are some people who have been long the yen for years and years, and credit to them, they've done extremely well in that. Now, those long positions are being reduced here, and I think that's good for Japan in terms of export earnings. And the Japanese stock market, which has been such a wallflower for such a long time, although it's participated in global bull trends, it's been sort of an underperformer in them, and it may well go from underperformer to outperformer overall. So it's an interesting outlook overall. One big negative, the strength of crude oil. Otherwise, things are a lot better than anyone, well, or than most people, I should say, would have dared to hope just a few months ago. And I think that's pretty much it. So have a terrific weekend. All the best.